Make sure to check us out on Letterboxd for written reviews.
For films that we've done not only on the podcast, but outside of the podcast too.
Links in the description below.
Hello everyone and welcome back to the Rewatch Podcast. My name is Samuel.
My name is Jaden.
And today we are taking a look at a recently released movie, unfortunately for us, which we saw last night at the cinemas.
Release opening night. It was opening night.
Opening night, yeah. What?
I think movies come out on Fridays, don't they?
Oh.
Or is it...
No, they come out
all... I think music's... Oh, music's Fridays. Movies are Thursdays.
Oh, okay.
So, second opening.
Mm. Mm. And we regret it, I think. But then again, we would have seen it either way.
Yeah.
Probably. Halloween Ends is what we're talking about today.
Mm.
Okay. So, before we get started, the Rewatch Podcast. It's a podcast where we talk about a certain film and discuss whether it deserves a rewatch on you. You can find us on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or any other place you listen to podcasts. If you enjoy the show, chuck us a like on the YouTube video. It'd be much appreciated. Halloween Ends, Jaden. What was your expectation going into this movie?
I think we're fairly different. I didn't enjoy Halloween 2018, so not the original Halloween, but the reboot. I think there's been three movies called Halloween, which is just ridiculous. Didn't like that. I just absolutely hated Halloween Kills. I thought that was terrible. And then obviously it's a whole different scenario with, Halloween Ends. And we were having a bit of a chat after the movie finished. And I think it's a pretty clear consensus from both of us that this movie makes Halloween Kills look like an absolute masterpiece.
Mm-hmm. The Godfather, as somebody has said.
Yeah,
I think retroactively it makes Halloween Kills look like a great film.
Yeah, at least from memory, remembering back.
Yes, to just being entertained.
Yeah.
Because we've watched the first Halloween movie, the 1978 classic.
Mm-hmm.
What were your thoughts on that movie?
Loved it. Yeah. Absolutely loved it. Does a lot right, which I think we'll get into later on, but... Namely, like, suspense in that movie is just, like, superb. Like, it's done so well.
Mm.
And, you know, the cinematography captures that and how they, you know, you can't always see Mike Myers, which is, you know, that's who Mike Myers is. That's
terrifying, isn't it? When you can't see something. Yeah, it's like, you know, the best shark movies, like Jaws, for instance.
Mm.
So much of the horror is built into the unseen, right? Yeah. You don't know where the shark is, but you know it's nearby. That's the scariest moment. It's not when the shark jumps out of the water to try and eat your head or whatever.
Mm.
It's the slow build-up of knowing that something is down there, but you can't see it. You don't know where it is.
Yeah, yeah. And I think it's pretty clear that whoever was involved in this movie just doesn't understand that. Can't really remember the previous two movies, but I think they were pretty average in terms of capturing Mike Myers as well. Essentially what we're saying is that nothing comes close to the 1978-ish
Halloween. Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah,
I've heard that this sequel, the direct sequel to the 78 one, isn't that bad.
Mm-hmm.
But then it kind of fell off the rails from there in terms of the original, you know, the old Halloween movies.
Yeah.
And it's a very complicated franchise. You know it's Halloween when you see an Instagram post from one of those film Instagram accounts, which provides the timeline.
Mm.
Because you just think, oh, here we go again. Yeah, it must be time for another Halloween
movie. I mean, like, how many movies are there? So they've got, like, the original...
There's, like, 13, I think. 13, 14.
Which is ridiculous, right? Like, that's just absurd. That's, like, four separate trilogies. Mm. I mean, what movie franchise do you know that has four separate trilogies?
And especially a franchise that's just very simple. Like, there isn't lore to this franchise. The only lore that exists is one day Michael Myers, when he was a kid, killed his brother or something.
I think it was his sister.
Yeah, and following that, was sent to prison.
Yeah.
And then broke out of that prison and then went back to the house to terrorize people.
Yeah.
With a mask on.
Yeah.
And then that's about it. You know, he has a relationship with Laurie Strode, but that's only because she was the first person who really kind of fought back. Or
she was the one that escaped, right?
Yeah, she escaped.
So this whole franchise is sort of dependent on that sort of relationship where he wants her best out of anyone because she was the one that got away.
Yeah, it's like a hunter sort of being like, like a predator being, I've killed all of these people, but there's this one thing that I can't get, and so I want that thing more than anything else.
Exactly, yeah.
That's about the extent to which there is lore for the Halloween franchise.
Mm-hmm.
It's very shallow beyond that.
Mm-hmm.
And so here we are 13 movies later.
Yeah. And they've finally put ends in the title.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if they've done it before. They probably have, to be honest, but let's hope this is the last one.
Yes.
And we, you know, we joke about it a lot. We were like, okay, make no more movies. But if there was more Star Wars movies, I don't think we would be totally against that, right? Like, another trilogy. If they get a good director, we'd probably be fine with it. But I don't want any more of these movies. Like, just it's over. Just end it.
Stop. Stop. He's already dead.
It's done.
Yeah. So, that brings us... So you have that classic movie released in 1978, which was phenomenal.
Yeah.
I enjoyed watching that so much. And I was also terrified. Mm-hmm. It's really scary. Really scary. I just remember how well certain shots were lit and how you could see Michael Myers in the shadows at some stages and how the camera would focus on a certain area where... So it makes you think that Michael's in that area, even though you can't see him.
Yep.
And just the tension is just sky high for that entire film.
Yep.
I don't get that in this film at all. No. There's no tension whatsoever.
Yep.
Let's go to the 2018 Halloween movie.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a soft reboot, legacy sequel kind of thing.
Force Awakens-ish.
Yes, exactly. Yep. Like the same sort of events play out, it's just everyone's a bit older.
Yeah, with new people.
Yes. In the mix. Yeah. So, what do you think of the 2018 film?
I like to bag on it a lot, but it's bad, but it's nowhere near these other two movies bad. Like, it made me disappointed, but at the same time, it was kind of enjoyable. It was... Better word, bearable.
Yes.
So I think it did a lot of things right, the 2018 one. I think, from my recollection, some of the jump scares were pretty good. Some of the set pieces were also pretty good. But overall, I just kind of felt a bit disappointed. And I mean, coming straight out of watching... Did we watch the 2018 one first, or the original?
I think you may have.
Yeah.
I hadn't seen the 2018 version until after.
Yeah, so I watched the 2018 one first, and then we watched the original, like, on Halloween or something. And then I think we rewatched, obviously, all three from there on out. Mm. Or you might have watched the 2018 one by yourself.
Yes, that's correct. Yeah, so the 2018 one, I thought was moderately enjoyable.
Mm-hmm.
Terrible movie, just from... like some logical flaws and not very strong characters, but was interesting to watch them sort of Force Awakens it, you know?
Yeah.
The Force Awakens, if you are drunk or, you know, you just don't care and you sit down and watch The Force Awakens, it's fine.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's entertaining.
It's fine enough.
Like, you know, there's bright lights on the screen and you just enjoy it for what you're seeing right in front of you, if you don't think about it.
Mm.
So that's sort of how I felt with 2018's Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
We went to see Halloween Kills.
Yeah.
Which I think was advertised really, really well with Michael Myers sort of coming out of the burning house and just murdering everyone.
Mm-hmm.
It was the film that had the most kills.
Yep.
And I personally think that it was a really, really well-paced movie only because it was kind of from Michael's perspective.
Mm.
And you just see him go essentially from door to door and just murder these terribly written characters.
Mm.
And there's just something so satisfying about that.
Yeah, right? I get what you mean. I still hate the movie, and I think you hate the movie as well.
I hate the whole evil dies tonight.
Yeah.
You know, the human aspect, but that's what I mean. Like, they're terribly written characters.
Yeah.
But Michael Myers, because he doesn't say anything and doesn't do anything ridiculous up until this movie, Halloween Ends.
Yeah.
He's just going door to door in Halloween Kills, just killing people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's entertaining to watch.
Yeah.
And the kills were good.
Yeah.
The kills were gory, and it was, you don't even know these people. You'd have a few lines and you think, oh, that's a cheesy character.
Yeah.
And then, I don't want to see any more of her. Oh, Michael's dealt with her already. Yeah, fantastic. Yeah, yeah. Okay, yeah. Let's go to the next house.
You've got a thing for that, right? Like, I can imagine, like, Great White, right? Like, that had terrible characters.
Yes.
But you like that because it's just some external force that's killing these basically nobodies.
Yes.
That have no characters, like, background or anything. Yeah.
And sometimes the well-written horror movies do that where, you know, there'll be a certain character that you just hate.
Mm-hmm.
Like, maybe it's a high school sort of jock who treats his girlfriend like crap.
Yep.
And, you know, he just treats everyone like they're below him.
Mm-hmm.
You're just thinking, oh, I can't wait till this guy gets murdered. Mm-hmm. And then he does, and it's satisfying.
It's satisfying
to watch.
Yeah.
Whereas with this franchise, especially Halloween Kills, I automatically despise every character because all of them are unlikable and poorly written.
Mm-hmm.
Except for Laurie Strode.
Mm-hmm.
What's her name? Jamie Lee Curtis, her character.
Yeah.
That's the only one who I can ever get any investment in.
Yeah.
But the rest of them, I'm just happy to see these people just get murdered by Michael Myers every 5 minutes. And that's what Halloween Kills was. So I enjoyed that.
Yeah. I think...
Not a good movie, though.
Not a good movie. Let's keep reiterating that.
Yes.
Because I think we need to. But like general consensus, we think the movies are pretty bad, but the first two are at least kind of enjoyable in terms of, you know, they had something going to them.
Yes.
Whether it was just ridiculous kill sprees by Michael Myers or, you know, decent cinematography and decent set action pieces in the first movie. Mm. But let's get back on track and talk about Halloween Ends, because this movie, it was pretty much doomed to fail from the ending of Halloween Kills. Spoilers, if you haven't seen Halloween Kills, Michael Myers gets like stabbed in the back and shot in the head like 50,000 times, and he lives. Another disclaimer as well, we rocked up to the movie late, so we don't actually know what happens in the first 10 or so minutes. We're guessing nothing happens.
But I don't think there's any Michael Myers.
Yeah.
I think it's, yeah. We'll get to that.
But how did they explain the end sequence in Halloween Kills? Did they just not explain it?
I don't think they do.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I mean, they may have.
Yeah.
They may have done a short flashback. We may have missed that.
Mm-hmm.
But
regardless, it doesn't help the movie's cause. It's still a bad movie.
Oh, certainly.
A very bad movie.
A terrible movie. So, let's just quickly, would you recommend this film to someone who has not seen it? And if so, what part of the Halloween franchise would you recommend?
Don't watch this at all. Stay far away from this. Use a 10-foot pole if you have to.
Use a pitchfork.
Yes.
Stab him with
it. It's not going to work. But
a rake.
skip the whole reboot franchise. Honestly, skip the whole franchise apart from the first movie.
Yeah.
Watch the first movie and you'll be fine.
Yeah.
It's not like Scream. You haven't seen Scream, but it's not like Scream where, as it goes on, there's sort of like pretty good movies, you know, towards the end. This whole franchise sucks, apart from the first movie, as far as I'm afraid. Like, I haven't seen anything past Halloween up until the reboot Halloween, but I don't feel like I have to.
I've seen a clip.
Yeah.
Where,
go on.
Where I think it's the fourth one, or it's called Halloween H2O or something. They have
really, no, it's not.
Really weird names.
There Halloween is, H2O.
There is a movie called Halloween H2O. And
Halloween water.
I've seen Laurie Strode whack Michael Myers' head off.
Yeah.
And his head comes off with the mask still on. So she has like a baseball bat or like a ratchet or something.
Yeah.
And she swings at his head and just knocks it clean off like it's a baseball on a tee.
Like Count Dooku, like, sort of head flying off.
Yeah. Just with a baseball bat. And he just knocks it off and you see like the head roll and his head's like in the mask and you see like his head. And it looks like he's like it's like a Barbie's head. You know how they have like a ball on the bottom and you just like could just pop it off. That's what it looks like. It just goes whack.
So it's like really fake.
So that's how Michael Myers died in like the fourth one or something.
So they're not attached to like these movies, right?
No, no, no.
This is like the Halloween, the 2018 Halloween is like the direct sequel to the first movie.
Yes. So it wipes out everything.
Yeah. Like a clean, you know, slate, like a fresh start. And they still managed to like screw it up.
Yes.
I can't believe this movie is called Halloween H2O. That's such a bad title. Halloween H2O 20 years later. So that's obviously Halloween 20, but that is just a horrendous title. That's
kind of... Everyone calls it H2O, not H20, because the Americans say O instead of zero.
I mean, you see H2O, you think of water, right? Like that's the chemical compound for like...
Yes. I mean, H2O, isn't that like a mermaid show for little...
Probably.
For little girls? That's... I think it is. It's like a High School Musical, but it's mermaid sort of show.
Jesus Christ.
H2O, just add water, is what it's called.
It's kind of up there with the Lego Movie part, the Lego Movie 2 part 2, or the second part.
In terms of dumb titles.
That is just stupid.
But I think that was outrageously, like, being stupid. Like, I think that
you
was...
Reckon?
I think that was deliberate. The Lego franchise is like that. Anyway, so... We're not recommending Halloween Ends to anyone who's seen it. If you're going to watch the Halloween franchise, first of all, watch it on Halloween and watch the first one and just treat it like Jaws, you know, because Jaws is like four sequels or whatever.
Yeah.
But you just watch the first one and then you don't progress further. Mm-hmm. You will be tempted.
Well, will you?
because the first one's such a good movie.
Yeah.
You think, oh, I would love to see more of that.
Yeah.
But you don't. That's it.
That's when we come into play and we say, don't watch any further.
Yes. Okay. So you're not going to be rewatching this film then, obviously.
No, never. Why would I ever watch this?
All right. So let's progress to the cast and crew members of Halloween Ends, okay? So, Letterboxd, first of all, the... plot synopsis for Halloween Ends is as follows. 4 years after the events of Halloween in 2018, Laurie has decided to liberate herself from fear and rage and embrace life. But when a young man is accused of killing a boy he was babysitting, it ignites a cascade of violence and terror that will force Laurie to finally confront the evil she can't control once and for all. Goodness me, I thought it was never going to end.
Yeah.
So the movie will have you believe that Jamie Lee Curtis is the protagonist because she is the top build.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about Jamie Lee Curtis in these movies as a whole, and then specifically in this film?
Yeah, well, Jamie Lee Curtis is, like, the main character, right? Like, you think Halloween, you think Mike Myers, Jamie Lee Curtis.
Yeah.
Like, they're the two you know, it's
just the two
forces that go against one another. It's sort of like Star Wars. You think Luke Skywalker, Darth Vader, right? But yeah, this movie just completely like subverts expectations in the worst possible way. And it's like, no, we want Drive 2011 drama with infant Jamie Lee Curtis, or reboot Jamie Lee Curtis and reboot Corey. Like, it's just, it's so horrendously bad. And obviously we can't say too much in non-spoiler territory, but just know that every character in this movie just sucks. They're just all bad.
Speaking of characters that suck, Rowan Campbell plays Corey Cunningham, who is a new character who was introduced, which is referred to in the plot synopsis. He's the character who kills a child accidentally.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sort of paralleled with what Michael Myers did in the very first movie with his sister. What did you think about his character? Without being too spoilery.
Well, you raised this, right? Like, you shouldn't be introducing characters in the final movie. Well,
you can.
Let me rephrase that. You can, but you shouldn't be introducing characters with this level of importance in the final movie. Yes. Corey Cunningham.
Why do you say that?
Well, there's not enough room to let them grow, right? Like, you need, if you're doing a trilogy, you need a few movies to develop characters. It's really hard to properly get an audience invested with a character and, you know, have all of the events that happen to them have any sort of emotional impact.
Yeah.
In this scenario, since, you know, he's introduced at the start of the movie, we've really got 150 minutes to be able to get to know this guy and then, you know, feel any emotional impact, which is just impossible. They could have easily introduced this guy in the first movie. Easily. But it just kind of seems like they were running out of ideas. Like, because, I mean, you can't make a final Halloween movie with just Michael Myers and Jamie Lee Curtis going at it, because you can't fill that up, right? Like, there's not enough content to have that going. It's just going to be the same thing. He's just going around town killing people.
Yeah.
So they need some sort of other aspect to go along with it. And they just happened to choose the worst possible one they could. I won't explain it as spoilers, but if you stick around, then you'll hear our thoughts on this.
What do you think about my favorite character in this movie? And don't take that as me saying that she's a good character.
Oh, I know who you're going to say.
Allison Nelson, who is the granddaughter of Laurie Strode. Allison's mother was killed at the end of Halloween Kills.
Yeah.
And so now she is like living with Laurie Strode, and she develops a sort of relationship with this Corey Cunningham new guy. I mean, this is an attractive actress, and I think that there was potential, and I think she was actually quite good in the previous movie, Halloween Kills.
Yep.
At just being kind of like a stand-in for a younger Laurie Strode, just being like a innocent young lady who is being terrified by this huge presence.
Yeah.
And you just want her to succeed just because she's young and she looks innocent and, you know, you just want her to get away.
Yeah.
Right. She seems likable enough.
Mm-hmm.
In this movie, it's outrageous what they do with her character.
Yeah.
It is outrageous because we're sort of led to believe that this story sets or takes place over a few days leading up to Halloween. And in the space of literally 2 or 3 days, she goes from being sort of a recluse and not wanting to develop friendships or relationships. She likes to be a bit of a loner. She just wants to stay at home with her grandma. To being like this wild teenager who's in love. And she's not a teenager. She's like a nurse.
Probably like early 20s.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd say even mid 20s, late 20s.
Oh, you reckon? It's 4 years after. I mean, she was like a teenager in
Okay. Born Kills. Okay.
She's probably early 20s. Yeah.
So she's like a young adult, essentially.
Yeah.
And, but she's acting like a 16-year-old character from Twilight. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
She's after the rebellious boy who she should not be after. She should be seeing all of the warning signs that this guy is insane.
I think there's one word to explain this, and we both know what the word is, and you guys probably know what the word is.
So starts with an S?
It starts with a H. No?
No.
Well, I'm not going to say it.
But
let's just say that she was like...
Oh, no, okay.
Sexually, like...
Well, just... yeah, what I was trying to say was the same thing, you mean. Like, okay. She's trying to come onto this guy very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And it just makes her look...
Oh,
it just takes away the innocence of the character. Because she meets this kid who she knows... accidentally or not, killed a child.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's going to be incredibly scarred by that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's almost like from the moment she looks at him, that she like wants to like run away with him straight away.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's just this, from the first scene they interact, she's all over him.
Mm-hmm.
There's no even like romantic build-up.
Yeah.
And a lot of the movie is invested in this stupid love story.
Yeah. Most of the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it builds up, like, it doesn't build up.
Yeah.
There's no build up. It just happens.
Yeah.
She's so into him straight away.
Yeah.
And then they go from that scene to sort of acting like they've been a couple for a few years. Mm-hmm. So I said to you in the cinema, if you're going to set this couple up to be, you know, to have their relationship come into the events of the movie, why would you set the relationship up in the movie itself? Why not just say they've been dating for 2 or 3 years already?
Well, it's because they didn't have enough content, right? Like, that's it.
Yeah.
That has to be the reason.
Yeah. Yeah.
The reason this movie is 150 minutes is because...
Well, last one was a lot shorter.
I don't know. I don't think it was. I could be wrong, though. But regardless, like, 150 minutes nowadays...
105 minutes the last one it was.
Oh, my God. God,
that's... See, yes, so because that one was really short, lots of killing, over.
Oh, no, sorry, it wasn't 150. 150 is like over 2 hours.
Yeah, no, this is 110. So the previous movie was 6-7 minutes shorter.
Yeah, okay. Well,
which you do feel
like... this is still a very short length, right?
Mm.
Like an hour...
Didn't feel 15. Like it, though. Didn't feel like it. Yeah. I felt like it was a feature-length film.
The last one felt really short. But what I'm trying to say is... nowadays, that's a really short runtime.
Yeah.
And it's clear that they didn't have enough stuff to fill up this movie. So they're like, okay, we have to put something in there. Let's just put this build up of this relationship in this movie for no apparent reason.
Jeremy Johns said in his interview, which I thought was a really good insight, what if someone from that sort of production rang up a romantic comedy writer and said, hey, you know that script that you haven't been able to get made? Can we just borrow the first half of it and we'll just make that? Because we don't have... We have the end of our movie sorted out, because obviously we're going to have the confrontation between Michael Myers and Laurie Strode.
Yeah.
Because that's what this has all been building Strode, to. Isn't it? Strode, yes, that's right. And we're missing the first half
of We're missing like... Five-sixths of the movie.
Yes, yes.
We need the whole movie, essentially.
Yes. So we're just going to chuck in the romantic.
And then we'll just play it off as a Halloween movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we'll just put some pumpkins around. And...
and we'll base it on Halloween, so they know it's a Halloween movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, honestly, that might be true, which is sad.
I know. It's a really good insight, and it certainly could have happened.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Anyway, so other cast members, I mean, I recognize the doctor, played by Will Patton, the character's name is Frank Hawkins, you know, the older guy.
Yeah, yeah.
I recognize him from the previous movies, and, you know, he was a wholesome presence, I guess, but he only had a few lines, so probably would have been better to focus on him than this new adolescent teenage boy, but whatever. Okay, let's talk about the visuals. What did you think in terms of cinematography, in terms of, like, the sets and...
Well, that's what I'm trying to think back to, right? Like, there's nothing I can remember about this movie.
It's just shot like a TV show, a TV, like a kid's drama.
Yeah.
There's no style. It doesn't look like a film. You know what I'm saying? Like,
there's no memorable stuff going on. Yeah. If you can say to me, do you remember, or if you can ask me, do you remember one shot from this movie? I can't tell you.
I remember one shot, and it's just ripped from it.
Yeah.
And it's the shot of the circular cave.
You know what? That's the one shot I was just going to say.
Yeah.
Where it's like looking out of
yes.
The, yeah.
And so it's like you're in the cave looking outwards.
Yeah.
But that's just straight from it.
Yeah.
Like, I remember watching that in the cinema yesterday.
I do remember that.
And thinking, oh, this reminds me of the first It movie when they're all in the sewer.
Mm.
Or when the clown's in the sewer and you're in the sewer as well.
Yeah, and it has that sort of distorted, like, camera effect. Yeah. Where, like,
it's like moving in slowly.
Yeah. Wow.
So, like, the only good shot is ripped off from something else.
The one shot that we can both remember.
But even when Michael Myers does eventually come on screen, which we will talk about because that's a huge part of why this movie is such a steaming pile of garbage.
Mm-hmm.
When he does eventually come on screen,
yeah,
it reminds me of Darth Vader appearing in the Obi-Wan Kenobi Disney Plus series.
Mm-hmm.
There's no intimidation factor.
Mm-hmm.
There's something that's missing.
Mm-hmm. I want that's missing.
The character just being on screen.
Yeah.
Had such an intimidating presence, even in the last movie, Halloween Kills,
yeah.
And the previous Halloween 2018, that when Michael Myers was around, you knew about it.
Mm-hmm.
You could feel it. The tension was high. Whereas when this Michael Myers shows up, there's no tension at all.
Mm.
And so it just reminds me of Darth Vader in the Obi-Wan Kenobi series, because Darth Vader is such a menacing presence, and something about the Kenobi series just made him look like just not as intimidating.
Mm, mm.
Like, I wasn't tense when he came on screen, and I was the same watching Michael Myers.
Yeah.
I wasn't scared at all,
yeah.
Except for a few really cheap jump scares, which I'm getting sick and tired of in the horror
genre. I am, man. We watched Smile the other day. It's really starting to get to me.
Mm.
Like, it's just cheap stuff. It's just them closing a cabinet and, you really know, a jump cut.
Yeah.
It's like, we can't predict that. You know. Well, first of all, jump scares shouldn't be predictable, but they shouldn't be predictable in the way that it's unique and authentic, and it's not cheap. Every jump scare in this movie was cheap. There was, like, not a good jump scare.
Mm.
And I was terrified because it's like, oh my God, I don't know when something's going to happen. I don't know when someone's going to put on a jug and it's going to make a, you know, a loud noise. You can't predict that.
Right at the start of the film, a character walks out of the house and it's all quiet.
Mm.
So they cut the sound. You're thinking, oh, here we go. We're going to get a jump scare.
Yeah.
It's going to pop out of the trees or something.
Yeah.
And then it just smash cuts to somebody like closing a door or opening a fridge or putting some coffee down on the roaster, or, you know, whatever.
It's just stupid. It's cheap and it's just lazy.
Yeah.
Honestly, like, it's just bad writing.
And that's the only thing that makes this a quote-unquote horror film for the first hour or so.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not scary.
Yeah.
Like, what on earth were they thinking? It's supposed to be a horror slasher film. You go into it with a certain expectation.
Mm-hmm.
That you're not going to be subjected to an hour of teenage romance.
But you are.
Yes.
Should we enter spoiler territory?
Well, let's talk about the sound. And well, we touched on the sound just then. Mm-hmm. But what did you think of the score?
You can't go wrong. I mean, it's John Carpenter's, like, original score. That's the only score they ever used. Yeah. So it's a good score. But, I mean, we can't give this movie credit for that. Right? Like,
absolutely.
Yeah. That's the 1978 score with a few extra elements.
Yeah, with a bit techno
thing. It's just been Michael Giacchino, you know?
Yes, that's a great word. I love that. I'm going to use that one. It's just been Michael Giacchino. And then when something previously iconic has been made more iconic, it's been Hans Zimmer.
It's been Hans Zimmer.
It's like when he takes the Bond theme and then he does his...
It's been Zimmered.
Yeah, it's been Zimmered. Goodness me. Okay. Well, let's get into some more detailed thoughts then. Let's enter spoiler territory. Where do you want to start?
Michael Myers dies.
At the end of the film.
At the end of the... Well, does he?
Does evil ever die?
Yeah, I just wanted to kick this off before I forget. I really need to mention this. There is this, like, reoccurring thing that they've been doing since the second movie, where they've tried to paint Michael Myers as this sort of spiritual entity. Terrible idea, if you didn't realize. They really set themselves up for failure in the second movie. Like, you can almost think about it, right? Like, they went way too far, and they're like, oh my god, we can't get back from this.
So, yeah, I mean, I remember us sitting in the theater watching Halloween Kills.
Yeah, yeah.
Watching, you know, Michael Myers, who is supposedly just a human man.
Yeah.
Who is just disturbed, likes killing people. Yeah. Like, those people exist, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So, that's interesting, and it works really well in the very first film.
And
it worked well in Halloween 2018, because you just think, this guy's just a lunatic, and he likes killing people.
Yeah.
So, let's just see what he does. Yeah. Like, I'm invested. Yeah. Whereas in Halloween Kills, he gets, as you said, like, shot 27 times in the face, and then he gets stabbed with a huge pitchfork.
Yeah.
Like, I remember that distinctly. And right at the end of the film, and then he gets beaten up by everyone in the town and everything. Like, and then he just gets up. He always just gets up.
And we don't know what happened to him.
Yeah.
As far as...
Yeah, and we don't know what happened to him from the last time.
That might be on us for missing the first 10 minutes, but at the same time...
But I think he disappeared at the end of Halloween Kills. I think we're forgetting that.
Yeah, I can't remember.
I think he probably did.
It's just a forget.
I reckon the police showed up or whatever, and then he's gone.
Oh, you know what? That might have happened. Yeah. And then he, like... And then he, you know, went into it territory and went into the sewers. And
if we're wrong, what we just said would be a better way to end it.
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty much.
So,
but anyways, so this whole spiritual entity thing they've got going on, right? Like, it's just mind-boggling. Like, the thing that made the first movie so good, and the thing that makes horror movies so good for me, and the reason I'm scared of horror movies, is the realism aspect of it.
Yeah.
I'm, like, way more scared to watch a, like, a Halloween versus a Conjuring
or something like that. The Meg.
Yeah, well, it's never going to happen, instead
of, like, Jaws.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
you want, like, a huge, big dinosaur shark.
Yeah.
Or do you want just, like, a really big shark just showed up and started eating people?
Yeah, so you would think, like, the Meg would be scarier because, you know, it's a bigger shark. Yeah. It's scarier. But the reason that Jaws is so much scarier is because it could happen.
Mm.
And that's what makes the first Halloween so good.
It makes you believe that it could happen.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's why the first Halloween's so good, is because it's just a regular dude who's, you know, enjoys killing people, and that could happen.
Mm.
But this whole entity crap that they have is just, it's so atrocious.
Mm.
And they made, like, Laurie, like, this sort of novelist where she's, like, writing, like, her life events.
Just retelling the movie again.
Yeah, and then she... A bunch of exposition at the start, by the way. Like, absolutely terrible exposition.
Like, saying, previously on the Halloween franchise, I was an 18-year-old child. Michael Myers came to my house. I escaped.
Yeah.
And then 40 years later, he came back, and I escaped again.
Yeah.
And then he went on a rampage and killed a lot of people. But now he's disappeared.
It's just, like, catch-up time. Like, I was sitting there watching it, and I was like, yeah, this is just for people that haven't watched anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think they do that every movie.
I don't remember.
I think they did. Because remember, we had the flashbacks in Halloween Kills.
Did they?
Yeah, because they used old footage in Halloween Kills, which they did again in this movie.
They did in this movie.
They love doing that. So they love catching people up.
This is still bad.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. But, like, you see, like, Laurie Strode, like, writing, like, this novel, and she's, like, changing the word he to, like, it.
Yeah.
And then she changes it. To, like, evil. And it's like, oh my god, this is, like, bad.
it's supposed to be, like, this really deep thing.
Yeah.
Where it's, like, actually, he's not a real man. He's a
spiritual
He's
person.
The personification of evil. It's like, no, I can see him. He's a man with limbs.
Yeah.
He went to prison. He has a name.
Yeah.
He had a family.
Yeah. If he can go through a meat grinder, that he's a man.
That's exactly right. But on that point regarding this sort of, they were hinting at a lot at the start, like Michael Myers is this evil thing, and they hinted at it in Halloween Kills, like it's sort of like this infection, like it's infecting the town with evil, and Michael Myers has become more than just a man or whatever. Doing that sort of like supernatural, psychological, fantasy sort of stuff, putting those elements into a horror movie is not necessarily a bad idea. For instance, The Night House, one of my favorite horror movies, is a completely ridiculous sort of, I don't know how you would describe it.
There's like some paranormal stuff going on.
Like paranormal, spiritual, that sort of stuff. That's okay.
Yeah.
The only problem, and even when we went to see Smile recently, I thought the most interesting part of that movie was the spiritual
elements.
Yeah. However, this franchise is not, it's a slasher. It's not.
I was just going to say that. I was going to jump in and say that if you weren't going to.
It's not a let's watch a horror movie that has more to it, right?
Yeah.
There's not like an underlying message. Yeah. There's not an ambiguous thing. Oh, was it all inside her head? Or, you know, is this thing even real?
Yeah.
Or, you know, is this actually what happens after we die? Or, you know, something like that. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. Whereas Halloween is just, there's just a madman and he's just killing people. Yeah. And it's fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you do it right.
Yeah. The word you're searching for is like elevated horror. Like it's got something else going on in like the background that makes it, you know,
more interesting.
Yeah. Or makes it like Oscar worthy. Yeah. Like you're never going to see any slasher movie just at the Oscars.
Yeah.
So that's like why like Get Out and like all of,
Jordan Peele stuff
is like, you know, elevated horror where it's got like some underlining sort of message behind it, like racism or whatever it might be. There's like nothing going on here. Like it's, well, at least in Halloween, it's just a man that kills.
And then they tried to introduce some sort of stuff, but then they didn't even go all the way with it.
Yeah.
But even if they did go all the way with it, it wouldn't have been good.
Yeah.
Because that's a departure from what this franchise is supposed to be.
Yeah.
You know, it'd be like if somebody rocked up on a Star Wars movie and just said, you know what, the Force actually isn't real. It was all in their heads. It's actually like a Ready Player One situation.
Well, that's sort of what George Lucas did to himself. Like, the midichlorians.
No, but I mean, like, somebody just came in and just completely changed a fundamental part of the franchise.
Just said it was like a psychological.
And then it had, like, the balls to be like, oh, it was that way all along. Yeah. You were just fooled or something rubbish, right?
But yeah, it's not along the way Michael Myers develops these spiritual aspects. Like, it's either he has it from the start or he's never had it at all. You don't develop these things. He doesn't turn into an entity along the way. That's just rubbish. Like,
he's either a man or he's this evil spirit. And if you wanted to make Michael Myers an evil spirit, that's fine. But you can't do it in a Halloween film, right? You've got to make a new horror film because we know the origins of Michael Myers because he was a kid.
Yeah.
And he went to prison and then he broke out and then he killed some people. If suddenly Michael Myers just showed up out of thin air, maybe he is the devil or some personification of evil, right? But because we know where he comes from, we've seen him as a child, seen what he did. He's just a guy. And so to spend like even 20 minutes being like, ooh, look, his evil presence has made this lady kill herself. It's like, what?
Yeah.
And then they don't even follow that thread through. Like, there are so many threads in this movie that are introduced, but then aren't worked into the main component of the film. So it's not, Halloween Ends isn't actually a film because there's no connective tissue between the acts.
Yeah.
Like, the beginning of the movie isn't connected to the middle of the movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Which isn't connected to the end of the movie. It's just what the, like,
it's just separate. It's just stuff scenes. Going. It's just stuff.
And then it's just, like, a series of
people talking and people dying every now and then, and then some connective tissue between the characters, and then the credits roll.
Yeah. Thank God. You're sitting there after 150 minutes, you're like, it's finally over. Yeah, I also wanted to have a chat about how Michael Myers is portrayed as this mentor in the movie. That's not who Michael Myers is, right? Like, this, he's like a soul sort of like dude. He's an individual, independent dude who wants to do his own stuff. And then good old Corey comes along and he's...
falls into his cave.
Falls into a cave, and you get some homeless man exposition where he's like, why did he save you? but we still don't really know why he saved him.
Why does that homeless man hang around if he knows Michael Myers is in that cave?
Yeah, he just wants a friend. Who knows? But what I'm saying is that Michael Myers takes Mr. Corey under his wing and he essentially trains him, you know? He's like, I'm going to show you my ways. I'm going to show you how when I kill people, it heals me. You can see my
wounds. Because they clearly did that, right?
Yeah. It's just so bad. And it's just not who Michael Myers is.
Like, I would get if killing somebody healed, like, an emotional
like, it aspect. Makes you feel like
good. Like, makes you feel like you have this power and that you can fight through the pain or whatever.
What we just said was, like, really sus. Like, disclaimer, we don't think that killing someone makes you feel good.
Of course.
We're talking about fictional
people. Yeah, well, we're talking about Michael Myers here. Yeah. And this guy likes killing. So maybe the reason, because he obviously feels good when he does it, right? Otherwise he wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
So if you were to say, okay, he kills somebody and he feels so good that he just doesn't really care about the pain that he's feeling anymore. It's like overshadowed by this feeling of pride or
whatever. It would have worked better. Yeah. Like so much better.
Yeah.
But
no, it's like a physical thing. Like it heals his body.
Yeah. So, Corey gets spared. And then, for some reason, he gets, like, possessed by Michael Myers. I don't know. and then he has his own clown mask. And then he's like, nah, screw that. I want a better mask. And then
he literally just goes into the cave and just beats up Michael Myers.
Which isn't possible. I mean, we already know Michael Myers is, like, an unstoppable force from the first movie, right? Like, he's this strong dude.
Yeah, he's really strong.
Really strong, really tall, really aggressive that you can't just, like, go up to and steal his mask. But he does it anyway, and then he's, like, crawling through the tunnel, and you think Michael Myers is going to grab him, which would make sense, but no, he lets him get away.
What would have worked better there, I think, is you see the Corey guy go into the cave and Michael Myers is standing there and Corey just like looks at him and he's like, I want the mask. I want to feel that power or whatever.
Yeah.
And then Michael just gives it to him because then you see that, oh, maybe Michael Myers is like able to, you know, think of another person's feelings or whatever.
Be, like, sympathetic.
Yes.
Empathetic.
See himself in this person, which he clearly does. They just didn't illustrate that well enough.
Yeah.
And he gives the mask.
Yeah.
Because they clearly were doing, like, oh, the mantle of Michael Myers is going to be passed on to this kid. Because
we need more movies.
Yes, exactly. So I was thinking, oh, gosh, here we go. And so it would have been better if he just gave the mask to the kid and then at some stage just wanted it back. And so he just killed him or whatever.
Yeah. Can I give myself some credit here? I think right from the start of the movie, when this new dude showed up, I was like, yeah, that's Michael Myers. And I knew straight away because it's like you don't introduce a new character in the final movie and he's just some side goon who no one cares about, right? He's wearing a blue jumpsuit. Of course he's going to be Michael Myers. You make him a mechanic. It's like, could you be more obvious? Yeah, so that kind of just ruined the whole movie for me. I was like, yeah, I know this dude's going to become evil. You've set up his origin in the first 10 minutes where he kills a child. It's the same thing that happened with Michael Myers. It's just Michael Myers V2, but just nowhere near as daunting.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that we're talking about, right? Like, there's just various scenes throughout this movie where you see Michael Myers walking up to a radio station building, and you just see him get out of the car and then walk into the building.
Yeah, that's not how you film Michael Myers.
Yeah.
And it amazes me, because I think the other movies, even directed by this guy, did it better. Like, did the suspense better.
Yeah, yeah.
Show Michael Myers in the reflection of a window for a brief second, and then he disappears.
Yeah.
And then you just fixated on the person he's about to kill, go out about their day, open some cupboards, walk into a dark area.
Yeah.
And then you think, oh, is Michael going to be there? Is he going to be there?
Yep.
But in this, it's just like, okay, so Michael, he drives the car, and then he gets out, and then he walks up, and then you see him in the mirror, and he's going to murder the dude. And it's like, what?
Yeah.
Like, that's not horrific. That's not horrific to watch.
Yeah.
It's not scary. It's
not scary
at all. It's just moderately entertaining.
Yeah. And then there's this other sequence in, like, this car yard, or, like, a mechanic's yard, where Michael Myers is, like, driving some sort of, like, pickup truck, or I should say a Ute. Oh, my God, that was really American. And you just see him, like, set up, like, all of the events. Like, you see him, like, planning it. Like, he gets into the car, and then he's, like, in the shadows, and it's like, am I meant to be scared? Like, this is a horror movie. I'm still lost for words about how terrible the writing is in this, and I think it's honestly some of the worst I've seen. There's a lot of movies out there that I say are, like, the worst movie I've seen.
Like Morbius.
Yeah, but at least Morbius had some good writing, right?
And Morbius knew what it was supposed to do. It was supposed to tell the origin story for this
character,
supervillain or whatever.
Yeah.
And by the end of the movie, it does that.
Yeah.
Whereas this movie told us, and it's this constant bait and switch in Hollywood that just really angers me. Because apparently the trailers are only use the footage from the second half of the movie where it's Laurie fighting Michael Myers.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
So the trailers give the impression that the movie is just going to be a rematch between those two,
but
which is an interesting premise because we've seen it before and we want to see it again. Why not?
Yeah.
But it's not what it seems. It's something else.
It's Michael Myers V2. Yeah, there's specific scenes in the trailer, namely the one where, like, you think Laurie's, like, going to commit suicide, and then she, like, smashes a pumpkin, and then Michael Myers V2 comes into the room, and she's like, I gotcha. That sequence is actually shown in the trailer, and you think in the trailer, like, oh my God, it's, like, Michael Myers versus Laurie, but it's not Michael Myers, it's just some random dude who no one cares about. And that's what the movie boils down to, is that there's no stakes, there's no one cares about this anymore, because you really stuffed up in the second movie. This was doomed to fail. Like, could you make this any, you probably could make this better, but could you make this a good movie? Probably not.
Yeah, I mean, you probably couldn't make it a satisfying conclusion, because that was never going to happen. Because this franchise has been going on for so long, nobody expects that it's going to end. Nobody really wants an ending. Nobody's thinking, oh, I can't wait for, you know, to put all of the DVDs on my shelf and just be like, that's the Halloween franchise, guys. People want to go and see these sort of movies every now and then.
I don't know. I kind of feel like Let It Be Over. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, yeah, for sure. But I don't think there's any Halloween fans who are like, oh, I've been waiting for this movie.
Yeah, no one's saying that.
Like, nobody wants to actually see Michael Myers die.
It's just like a recurring thing that Hollywood has going on at the moment with legacy characters and sort of wrapping up stories in the 21st century. Like, you've got, you know, Star Wars sort of did it with Rise of Skywalker. And
Jurassic Park.
I was just going to say, Jurassic World Dominion just came out, which I still haven't seen, but apparently, like, it's just absolutely terrible.
Yeah.
Like, when are these studios going to learn that this just isn't working? They just need to give up. Stop rebooting stuff. It's not working.
Soft reboots.
Because then in 50 years' time, when another studio goes to reboot the reboot, there's nothing left.
Apparently the rights are changing over now. So
in terms of what?
Like the production rights are going to a different production company now.
For Halloween?
Yes. So if the director of this movie says this is the end, well, it's not his decision now because it's going to go to a different production company.
The fact that the rights are even going somewhere just alludes to the fact that someone wants to continue it. Like, great.
Yeah.
That was a sarcastic grade, by the way.
Yeah, I don't think somebody's going to acquire the rights so that they can put the franchise to rest and just make, like, collector's edition DVDs or whatever.
I would.
If you were a super fan of Halloween and you were a billionaire, maybe you would consider it.
Yeah.
You're just like, please.
Just let it be over.
Like, if I was a billionaire and, like, I was in a position to buy Star Wars after The Last Jedi, I would be like, okay, I bought it.
Yeah.
Now either scrap it or nothing gets made anymore. Like, so maybe something like that's going to happen, but...
If I can't get a good movie, no one gets any movies.
Unlikely to happen. But this movie was just a disaster, and it's almost impressive how at every single turn it made the wrong decision.
Mm-hmm.
And it's even more impressive that they did that because so many other studios have made movies like this and have had these results. And they
just don't learn.
Like, the bait and switch, common thing that you should not do. We see it all the time. Star Wars, Lord of the Rings show, all of these, like, beloved franchises, like, all the Marvel shows.
Mm-hmm.
That you think it's going to be... Or it's advertised as something that you like. Oh, Harrison Ford is coming back. Oh, Luke Skywalker is coming back. Mm-hmm. I like those characters. I'm sure it's going to be really good. Oh, it's actually a movie about space gambling with Rose Tico. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's this common trait where Hollywood thinks, oh, we actually want the Lord of the Rings fans to watch the show.
Yeah.
So we're going to... put Elrond in, we're going to put Galadriel in, we're going to buy the rights because we really want a valuable property because we know the fans are going to show up for it.
Mm-hmm.
But then, when it comes to actually making the show, they just make every single decision that you shouldn't be making. And
which is impressive.
Piss off the fans. It's like the whole reason why you wanted to make this film or TV show or buy this property is for the fans that are attached to it.
Yep.
They wanted to make a Halloween trilogy because they knew people would show up to Halloween trilogies.
Yeah. But they screwed it up.
But then they didn't even make... This isn't a Halloween film.
Yeah.
Like, this has nothing to do with this season, like Halloween.
This is like Twilight. Just
like, it's got nothing to do with Michael Myers.
Yeah.
It's got nothing from the original sort of scent of the first film.
Mm. Yeah, it's just horrendous.
It's not even a blatant copy.
No, like, yeah, the 2018 one was like a blatant copy, which is kind of why it worked, The Force Awakens kind of works because it's just a ripoff of A New Hope. It's like, what's the safest thing we can do right now is just copy the movie.
Yeah.
But Halloween's ends is just, I can't even pick a word to describe it because it's just horrendous. Maybe that's the word, horrendous.
Horrendous.
I just wanted to say this. There are four movies that I've seen this year that I have given an F rating to, including this. I'm just going to throw it out there. This is an F. This movie just sucks.
Is that our lowest ranking?
And the lowest ranking is an F. So okay. It goes from a D minus to an F.
I will join you on the F.
Great. I'm happy with both. I've seen Morbius, which I gave an F.
Yes, that's justified.
I've seen The Ice Age Adventures of Buck Wild, which is... I haven't
seen that one.
That movie is, like, so bad, but I put it above this.
Right.
There is one movie that I've put that's lower than this. It's called Trainwreck, Woodstock 99, and I think I've talked to you about this.
Oh, the documentary.
I was so offended by this that I just had to put it lower.
So it's a documentary that like, misconstrues history, essentially.
Yeah. Which is, that's why it's deserving of the last place.
Yeah, so it's fundamentally wrong.
Yeah, but in terms of a movie that I've seen, this is the worst movie I've seen in a long time.
Yes.
A very, very long time.
The only movie that I think is worse that I've seen from this, from my entire life rather, is there's this like superhero movie, teenage superhero movie that I watched.
Is it called The New Mutants?
No, but it's in that same sort of vein. It's like, oh God. We have discussed it previously. It would have come out in 2018,
mm-hmm.
and it was just terrible. I think I have reviewed it on my Letterboxd.
Okay, so while you find that, I'm just going to talk about some movies that I've seen that I think are better than this, and you guys might be surprised. Wonder Woman 1984 is a better movie.
Really?
Yeah, it's a better movie. The original Justice League is a better movie than this, the 2017 one. A New Mutants, better movie.
No, I wouldn't put Justice League above this.
I would. I know you might not, but I would.
Oh, it's called The Darkest Minds, okay, Shemis?
I think I'm... So, yeah.
So, 2.6 it's rated, but here's the plot synopsis. It's like a bad Hunger Games New Mutants ripoff, right?
Oh,
combined. So after a disease kills 98% of America's children, the surviving 2% develop superpowers and are placed in internment camps. A 16-year-old girl escapes her camp and joins a group of other teens on the run from the government. That's it. That's the plot synopsis.
It just sounds shit. Like, why would anyone make a movie out of that, you know?
So I gave that half a star. Yeah. The most popular reviews are one star. So that's the only other movie that I would put on the same sort of spectrum, along with things like Birds of Prey.
Birds of Prey is so much better.
Nah, Birds of Prey.
The Emoji Movie is better than this. Like, that'd be Nolan. this movie was really, really bad, guys.
I watched this movie called Life with Robert Pattinson.
Is that where he, like, pets a cow? That is your most iconic review. Is Robert Pattinson pets a cow.
And it was the best part of the movie.
Yeah.
And Dane DeHaan's performance was better in The Amazing Spider-Man 2. That's my review. But yes, I gave that half a star as well. So that's sort of on the... That's its company. You know, those movies.
Yeah. Well, I haven't seen those two movies, but from the synopsis, I can imagine that it's about on the same wavelength.
Yeah.
So
we give Fs across the board. In terms of the music segment, I guess we just put in the main theme.
We should may as well just put the 1978 one. It's just the same
thing. It is kind of cheating, but let's say for the sake of our playlist overall, let's put the 1978.
Let's put the 1978 one. Because you don't want to be listening to our playlist and have the Halloween Ends one pop up when you could be listening to
just the normal Halloween one. Yeah. Unless we do revisit Halloween, but we discussed it quite a lot in this episode. So
I think there's a lot more that we probably could touch on. That
there are so many other things. You can make a 6-hour video just going scene by scene and just because the scenes themselves don't work, the acting doesn't work, the lines execution is terrible.
Mm.
I remember you saying in the cinema, every now and then a character would say a line, and you said, like, oh, that line delivery was rough. That line delivery was bad.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That's the story with the entire movie.
It's just so predictable, man.
Even Michael Myers, who didn't say any lines, gave a worse performance in this than he did in the previous movie.
Yeah, how can a dude that doesn't talk give a worse performance, right? Just shocking.
They just portray him in, like, you can't let your unstoppable force get beat up by a teenage boy. Imagine if Darth Vader got beat up by a teenage boy in Empire Strikes Back. Like,
should we publicly shame the writing team?
Yes.
I think they deserve to be shamed for this.
Because the director of this movie actually wrote it as well. So it's not just a case of some poor director wanting to do his best with a terrible script.
Mm.
He did the script. He wrote this thing.
I just saw a review from one of my most trusted sources, and he gave it a 4-star. That's going to be an interesting read.
I'm sure there'll be some snobs that say, oh, this Halloween movie is like The Last Jedi of Star Wars movies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not... It's daring. It's not a Halloween movie, but if you
forget that it's a Halloween movie. It's actually a really good movie.
Mm.
Like how the Last Jedi fans go, oh, The Last Jedi is actually a good movie,
yeah,
but it's not a good Star Wars movie. Yep. It's like, well, the Star Wars is in the title.
Yep. You wouldn't believe how many producers are involved in this. There's like 10, more than 10. So you've got David Gordon Green, who's the writer. He's directed a few other movies, namely the two other Halloween ones and pretty much nothing else. You've got this dude called Paul Brad Logan. It's his first time writing.
Of course it is.
Danny McBride, who's written...
All male writers?
Yep.
And that's disgraceful because... And it kind of shows, like, and I'm not saying that you've got to have a woman on the writing team to do a good romantic relationship or whatever, but they turn that young female character
mm-hmm.
into such a, like, just, you know, just a promiscuous,
yeah,
teenage, just unlikable.
Yep. Shameful.
Yeah. Shameful. Yeah.
Yeah. So this dude... I mean, David Gordon Green has... Oh, no. He's got an Exorcist movie coming up, which is another copy of... Oh,
no. It's like a reboot again.
He's just rebooting movies.
Wait, is this the same guy?
It's the same director. Oh, no. And it's got the same writing team attached to it.
Oh, no.
The exact same writing team.
Well, at least we know we can avoid that one.
Okay. Don't see The Exorcist in 2023.
Yes.
Let that be known. But essentially what I'm saying is that the writing cast are like...
They haven't done anything previously.
They're nobodies.
Yeah.
Why do people keep employing these people? Probably because no one else wanted to do this.
No one else wanted to write it. Yeah, that's right. That's right. But how many of them wrote the previous movie?
I think they've all... No, sorry. One of them. Well, David Gordon Green, who's the director, yeah. And then one other dude.
Mm,
and right. Then the other two are just...
So there's two...
There's two people.
That didn't write the previous one that contributed to the writing of this.
Yeah. I mean, that's just... And then, what is wrong with the world? You got Michael Giacchino directing movies now.
I mean, he can't even do composing well. And now they're letting him direct stuff.
God damn it.
And he did the composing as well, because of course he did.
Yeah.
He doesn't let... Michael Giacchino doesn't let anyone else do any composing. He's so greedy.
We don't even know this guy. We just have a hatred for him.
I think he's a greedy person. Like, why...
I don't like Danny Elfman.
Yeah, Danny Elfman.
I don't know much about Michael Giacchino. I just like to bash on him because I think it's funny.
I think his scores are terrible.
He's done some good stuff, but he's done a lot of bad stuff as well.
Yeah, but he does everything. Yeah. He's now directing Marvel stuff. If there's a Marvel movie, you can essentially flip a coin and whether it's going to be Michael Giacchino or, like, 10 other... random composers that nobody cares about. Like, every single movie, whether it's a Spider-Man movie, whether it's in a Captain America movie, whether it's an Avengers movie, just fucking flip the coin. It's gonna be Michael Giacchino every time, you know?
It's like the Two-Face coin where it's like, heads or heads, it's gonna be Michael Giacchino.
Yeah, That's a good meme.
Yeah.
That's a good meme. Yeah, flip the coin. It's gonna be Michael Giacchino every fucking time.
I think that's a good place to leave it. Don't see the movie. It's an absolute abomination.
Don't see any Michael Giacchino scores. Just avoid them.
Maybe just wipe Michael Giacchino from that playlist. exterminate. Yeah. F's all around across the board. Absolute fail of a movie.
Yeah.
Don't watch it.
I hope this podcast was more entertaining than the movie itself.
It's about the same length. Is it? No.
We're getting there.
We're getting 30 minutes or so.
Longer than Halloween Kills. All right. We'll leave it there for today. Thanks very much for listening. We hope you enjoyed, and we'll catch you in the next episode.
Bye.